Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Well, welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, and I'm blessed to be here with you again today to talk about the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ as he is now, waiting to come back and reclaim his earth. And he will be back. He will be back. And we've seen that this book can be understood. It is not a very, very difficult book that is so hard to understand that no one can understand it, because a lot of people do. So what's required is a good working knowledge of the Old Testament. And that's why we are spending quite a bit of time in the Old Testament. So as we're reading the text of the book of Revelation, it makes sense. It makes sense. So we're going to continue in the Old Testament here with two Old Testament prophecies that are going to provide us with a great deal of the characteristics of the Great Tribulation. But more importantly, there is one event that we see in the Old Testament that triggers the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Now, I want to separate these things out today, and I want to talk about, one, the backbone of Bible prophecy, The beginning of the tribulation starts with the signing of a seven-year covenant between the Antichrist, and that's this coming world leader that has yet to come on the earth and the Jewish nation. Now, when I say yet to come on the earth, I mean yet to be announced, be revealed. It's possible that he's here. Not real comfortable with saying that he's here, but it is possible. Now, the prophecy that I want to talk about has been called the backbone of the Bible prophecy because it carves out this huge, big section of time, if you will, out of the times of the Gentiles that we've been speaking about. Actually, the time period that it carves out is a 490-year period within the times of the Gentiles. Now, and it tells us that it is going to occur in between the different segments of those 490 years. Now, the first passage we're going to look at is Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And the second one is going to be in Isaiah 28, verses 14 to 22. The passage given by the angel Gabriel to Daniel provides some clarity regarding the length of the various stages of Jewish history and leading up to the signing of the seven-year covenant between the Jewish nation and the Antichrist. Now, Daniel realizes that Israel has to confess her sins, her national sins, before the Messiah is going to come and set up his kingdom. And he realizes that, and that's part of his prayer. So following the prayer, Gabriel comes to make a correction about Daniel's assumptions on when the kingdom's going to begin. What Gabriel's saying here is that the kingdom is going to be set up after this concept he introduced calls the 77s. It's actually a play on words. Now, Daniel's waiting for 70 years to finish, and Gabriel comes and says, no, it's 77s of years. Now, I'm going to read the text, and then I'm going to go over it in great detail here. Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27. 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the anointed one, the prince, shall be 70 weeks, 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. It shall be built again with street and moat, even in troublous times. And after the 62 weeks shall the anointed one be cut off, and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and even unto the end shall be the war. Desolations are determined. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And upon the wing of abominations shall come one that maketh desolate. And even unto the full end, and that determined, shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. Now, one of the problems with getting a full understanding of the biblical text here, especially Hebrew, is the fact that it was written in Hebrew. And in this particular case, it was written almost 3,000 years ago. So, you know, we have a long time span, plus we have a different language that has different meanings than our English translators have done to up for us. But they do the best job they can. And I'm going to point out some of the errors as we go through the text here. The decree of the 77s in their actual measurement here. Now let's look at this. The prophecy starts off with 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon the holy city. The Hebrew word translated weeks here in English is shabuim. Now, I don't know why our translators called it weeks. Maybe because a week has 7 days. I don't know, but it's a mistranslation. It should be translated as seven or 77s. Shabuim just simply refers to seven of something, much like we refer to a few as three of something. The term few used in a sentence does not itself specify what it's three of. And we learn that from the rest of the sentence. But what it actually is referring to, such as go to the store and pick up a few oranges or a few apples. So the same is true of this passage of Scripture. Unfortunately, the word shabuim has been translated in our Bibles as weeks. So knowing that, let's look forward here. There is another section of Scripture that uses the same terminology. Genesis 29:27, Jacob wants to marry Rachel. Now, he worked for her father for 7 years, and the text says that he worked for him for 1 week, shabuim. But he didn't get Rachel. He ended up getting her sister, and he was tricked by Laban into getting Leah. Now, Laban says if he wanted Rachel, he's going to have to work for another week for her. So he had to work another 7 years. So shabuim simply means seven of something. And in this context here in the Daniel passage, it is speaking about a shabuim of years. So Gabriel, after he comes to him at the end of the prayer, Gabriel tells Daniel that 77s of years are going to be set up and must pass before the establishment of the kingdom. The kingdom, it's a period of peace and prosperity where the whole social order of this planet is realigned with Jesus, the Messiah, on his throne, David's throne, if you will, in Jerusalem, the seat of power, running the entire world. And just remember from some of our previous lessons, it was Daniel who was given this perspective on the entire Gentile world domination known as the times of the Gentiles. I remember all the beasts and the image and all that we talked about earlier. Well, that talked about which Gentile nations would be controlling Jerusalem from 586 BC when Nebuchadnezzar sacked Jerusalem. He just leveled it, ruined the temple, ruined the city, killed a million people or so, and dragged a bunch of people off into captivity. Well, this Gentile control of Jerusalem continues until the close of the Great Tribulation in the Second Coming when Messiah comes back. Now, there are a couple of times during then when the Jews will have gained temporary control, like now,
They just got it since 1967. It really hasn't been all that long when you're looking at millenniums here. And they lost it, or excuse me, the Jews gained it back, I believe it was about 167 B.C. under Judas Maccabeus when they took it back from Antiochus Epiphanes. So we're talking here about a long, long period of time. Now, Gabriel then is telling Daniel that 77s of years have been decreed upon the Israelites. 490 years are decreed, and they fall within the times of the Gentiles, to bring about the final restoration of the nation Israel. Now, there's a prophetic focus here that we have to understand, and that is the Jews and Jerusalem and the Gentiles, not the church. Not the church. The church, remember, the invisible church is those real, genuine, born-again believers. That's the church. The center of this prophecy is the Jews. It's not the church. A saved Jew, one who has committed his life unto Jesus the Messiah, is still Jewish, to be sure, but he's part of the church. Part of the church. In their city, Jerusalem. Now, 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people, the Jews, and upon thy holy city. Daniel was a Jew, so we're talking about Daniel and the Jewish people. The Christians, as it were, the church, has nothing to do with this prophecy. We are out of here, as we've talked about in the past, in the great rapture and resurrection that's going to happen. We're a special group of people, the ecclesia, and it's compromised both Jews and Gentiles. We do not suffer the great tribulation. The Jews will. Jerusalem is the city of the Jews. It doesn't matter what anybody from the Palestinian Authority or anybody from Hamas or any of these other groups say. Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. It belongs to God, actually, and he's given it to the Jews for the time being. Remember now, there are three reasons for the Great Tribulation, and one of those reasons is to break the will of the holy people, the Jews, because they've turned away corporately from Christ. That's only one of the reasons. The other two are to evangelize the world and make an end to sin and sinful ones. Now, let's look at the six purposes of the 77s. I'm going to read Daniel 9. Verse 24 again, 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So, the purpose of the 490 years is to accomplish six things. Three are negative, three are positive. Finish the transgression. Make an end of sin. Make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in an age of righteousness. To cause a cessation of prophecy and to anoint the most holy place. Now let's look at these in detail. To finish the transgression. The word finish here is a Hebrew word that means to restrain firmly or completely, to grab, to get complete control and hold. There's no way to leave this. It's sealed. In a Hebrew text, this transgression is the rebellion. The transgression is a strong word for sin. So the principal rebellion of the Jews is the denial of the lordship of their Messiah, Jesus Christ. They denied him when he came. Now, it was from the leadership down. It wasn't from the common people. The common people all accepted him and flocked to him because the whole early church in the very, very first generation were all Jewish folks. The common people after the first generation did what the leaders said. That's why we don't have a huge number of Jews in the church today. They followed their leaders. Been one of their biggest problems, which have led to their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Jew, this can only mean one thing, their rejection of the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. Now, the finishing of this transgression is also given to us in Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 9, and Zechariah chapter 12, 10 to chapter 13, 1. The purpose of the 490 years is to bring their sin, their transgression, that major sin, under control so that they'll no longer reject Jesus as the Messiah. That's number one. Right on top of the list, they've got to recognize who he is. The same point is brought out in Isaiah 59, verses 20. Daniel knew that there was something like this that's going to happen. He didn't realize it was the sin, though, of not believing in the Messiah, because he'd not even come close to knowing about the Messiah when he was carried away. He knew that there was a Messiah, but he didn't know that the Messiah had come, because this was a long, long time. This prophecy was given before the Messiah came. Daniel was carried away to Babylon around 605 B.C. He didn't know that. All he knew was that they had sinned greatly, for the Lord had to bring the Babylonians in and sack Jerusalem and carry away all these people three times. He knew that the sin of the Jewish people were so great because he trusted God, you see. He trusted God and he was close to God and he could see the sin. He knew what it was. The New Testament, Paul tells us the same things in Romans 11:26. The similar passage in the New Testament of Romans 9, 10, and 11 chapters, Paul's talking to the nation Israel, pleading with them to accept their Messiah. And, of course, corporately they haven't, and they won't until he returns. But let's look at the second big reason here, to make an end of sins. Now, the second purpose of the 490 years here is to make an end of sins, in the plural, which means to prevent the Jews from sinning or missing the mark in their daily life. I know that some would like it mean more than that, but missing the mark in God's economy means you're really off. You're either on 100% or you're way off. There isn't any two ways about it. You don't just sin a little bit. You either sin or you don't sin. The Bible tells us that even though once we get saved, we will sin. We have an advocate. When we confess our sins, he's quick to restore us. It's the unconfessed sins that are the problem in our life, the ones you think don't matter. Now, James, the apostle, tells us that to him who knows what to do and doesn't do it, to him that is sin. So the Bible covers all our activities. It's not like we can get out from underneath from some of them that we may be doing here. Sin is exactly what it is. It's missing the mark. There will be some sinning that takes place during the thousand-year kingdom. But from the text I have cited in this passage, it just does not appear it's going to be done by the Jews. The Jews will be running the thousand-year kingdom. It's going to be their time of glory, running the world under King Jesus for 1,000 years. Now, this is taught in Isaiah 27:9, Ezekiel 36, verses 25-27, and Ezekiel 37, verse 23, and Romans 11:27, to validate the fact that the Jews will be free from the sin nature. The Gentiles born during this time will not be free from the sin nature, but everybody going into the kingdom will be saved and free from the sin nature. In other words, everybody going into that 1,000-year reign will be saved, but there will be people born later that will rebel. Because there's going to be a rebellion cited at the end of the 1,000 years. And after that, the eternal order is set up, and the hierarchy again is all changed, and the Jews aren't in control anymore. It is God completely control. We're back the way it was before the entire world was created. Again, the purpose for the 490 years is to bring about an end of daily sinning for the Jews. From these passages, it appears that only the unsaved Gentiles will be sinning during this period. Now, let's look at what it means to make a reconciliation of iniquity. The third purpose here is to make a reconciliation of iniquity, and it actually means atonement in Hebrew. This is the means by which the sinning will stop. So this program of the 77s will remove the national sin of Messiah rejection, daily sinning, and dealing with the sin nature itself. It's going to turn the sin nature of the Jews off, and they're not even going to have an inclination to sin. Let's look at the next characteristic. To bring in an age of righteousness. And it just means to bring in an age of righteousness. And the Hebrew word there is everlasting. And it means this age is actually in a kingdom. Everlasting. Some Old Testament passages that give us the same information are Isaiah 1:26, 11 verses 2 to 5, 32:17, Jeremiah 23:5-6, and 33:15-18. So the fourth purpose of these 77s is to bring in the kingdom age, the everlasting righteousness. Now, Daniel thought it was going to happen right away, but Gabriel came and talked to him and told him it's going to be another 490 years. But this gives a particular starting point for us. The clock starts ticking right after the end of the 70 years of captivity, but it's going to actually occur after the 77s of years, or the 490 years. Now, the next item here on our list is to cause a cessation of prophecy. Now, what this actually means is to stop the oral prophecy, such as Elijah or Elisha, and the written prophecy, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc. It stops. There aren't any more prophetic writings in the Bible. The Bible is what we call a closed canon, and it just means that what God has written has been written. He's not writing anything anymore after he closed this Bible. Particular issue here is the final fulfillment of both oral and written prophecy. It's all been said. God, in Amos 3:7, is telling the prophets, I'm going to tell these prophets what I'm going to tell you guys, and that I am going to do, and you pay attention, because the text says there, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto the servant, his servants, the prophets. Now, what he's saying here to Daniel is, when the time comes, all the prophecies are going to be shut up. There won't be any more to tell. You could talk some more, but it's not going to make any difference because it's not going to be perfect. This is strictly an Old Testament revelation. The New Testament gives us one final revelation, and that's the reestablishment of the eternal order. That wasn't seen in the Old Testament. We're looking at the 77s in Old Testament prophecy to bring in the kingdom. The book of Revelation is talk about reestablishing the eternal order at the end of the kingdom period. Now, one of the other things that's going to take place here is to anoint the most holy place. Now, that's one of the final purposes of the 77s, to anoint a most holy place. That's going to be the fourth temple, or the temple of the Messianic Kingdom. That is going to be built by the Lord himself. It'll be the millennial temple, and it's going to last for 1,000 years. This prophecy way, way, way out in the future is looking back at the first three temples. It'll be anointed as part of the 77's prophecy. Temples looking back from the kingdom age will be Solomon's temple. It was destroyed by the Babylonians. Zerubbabel, who came back after the captivity and rebuilt it as much as he could. There's going to be a tribulation temple that's still yet future to us, which is being prepared today. And there's plenty of groups over there that are trying to put the components together, train the priest, get the red heifer for the ashes to start the brazen altar fire, start the sacrifice as soon as they can. And that's on the horizon. The tribulation temple is going to be destroyed in the tribulation. And we see that starting in some of these passages here. We don't count Herod's temple as a temple, because the Shekinah glory was never there, except for the Lord Jesus walking into it. But the Shekinah glory was never there in the Holy of Holies. Was never ordained by God. That was just a rebuilding of Zerubbabel's temple and expansion. So Herod wasn't even a Jew. He was all political. As a result, it was destroyed in 70 AD. So I'm going to close here with the starting point of the 77s. We're given this information here, and the text in Daniel 9:25a says, knowing therefore, and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, So the starting commandment we will see in the first chapter of Nehemiah, we see that the Persian king Artaxerxes Longimanus on March the 14th, 445 BC, issues a decree and sends back Nehemiah. It's been a pleasure to be with you today. I look forward to continuing this wonderful, wonderful grand adventure in the book of Revelation with you in our next session next week. God bless you. And if you don't know this Lord Jesus, call me. I'd be happy to talk to you about him. 1-877-706-2479. God bless you.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.